Let's read together Ezra chapter 3. In this chapter, the Jewish captives who have returned home from Babylon first build the altar of the Lord, and then they lay the foundation for the new temple. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9. And when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering, and those for new moons and for all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. They also gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with his sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. Let's begin our study this morning of Ezra chapter 3 with some background notes. In Ezra chapter 1, we learned that when the Persian Empire conquered Babylon, Cyrus the Persian king issued an edict in 538 BC which allowed the captive Jews in Babylon to return to Jerusalem. King Cyrus the Persian even encouraged the Jewish captives who were returning to rebuild their temple that Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies had destroyed in 586 BC. In chapter 2, we saw that about 50,000 Jews returned to Jerusalem at that time. When they returned, the first thing they did was to build the altar of the Lord, as we see here in chapter 3, verse 2. Jeshua and the priests and Zerubbabel and his brethren arose and built the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Jeshua was the high priest at that time, and Zerubbabel was the leader who had brought them back from captivity. First things first, they built the altar of sacrifice so that they could worship and obey the Lord. How is it in your life? First things first. And then, in obedience to the law, they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, a great celebration. Verse 4. And they began to offer all the sacrifices and keep all the feasts in accordance with the law of God. Verse 5. But in verse 6, we see that the foundation of the temple had not yet been laid. However, in verse 8, we read that in the second month of the second year of their return, they began the work of rebuilding the temple of the Lord. Now, one calculation of this date, the second month of the second year, is 535 BC. Now, 70 years earlier, in 605 BC, the first phase of the fall of the kingdom of Judah took place. It was at that time, in 605 BC, that Daniel and others were taken into captivity in Babylon. So you see, this is another way to calculate the 70 years of the captivity. 605 down to 535, when the foundation of the new temple was laid, is 70 years. And remember the other way, is from 586 BC, when the temple was destroyed, down to 516 BC, when the rebuilt temple was completed. That also is 70 years. And more we could give for background, and some of the other dates here we'll pick up as we go. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezra chapter 3. That is, what is the Bible teaching us here? God chose, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to include this book of Scripture. So when you read it, certainly the Lord has some lessons for us to learn. So doctrinal point number one, the work of the Lord proceeds with organization. The work of the Lord proceeds with organization. You know, some Christians have the idea that the work of the Lord just happens automatically. I mean, let go, let God, and the work of the Lord gets done, right? No. You certainly don't find that approach in the Bible. Look at the organization that we have here in this chapter. First of all, the people were organized as to their priorities. The first thing they did when they got back to Jerusalem was to build the altar of the Lord. Why? Because worship of the Lord was their top priority. And worship led to obedience. They obeyed the Lord as to all the offerings and feasts that were given in the law. Let me ask you this morning, are we organized as to our priorities? Are worship and obedience to the Lord in the number one place in our lives? What about this past week? What were your priorities this past week? And then the people were organized as to their preparations. Verse 7, they also gave money to the masons and the carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. The people didn't just start building the new temple without some planning and preparation. No, they bought and shipped materials from Lebanon. No small project in itself. They had to cut down these logs and get them down to the sea, float them down to Joppa, bring them up to Jerusalem, and so forth. A lot of planning and preparation. And in verse 8, we see that they appointed the Levites to oversee the work. These folks were organized. The work of the Lord proceeds with organization. To organize the work of the Lord is biblical. Just doesn't happen automatically. There's got to be some organization. To organize the work of the Lord is biblical. Let me ask you, have you ever been to a church or camp work day, for example, that was not organized? I have. It's chaos. Believe me. People mean well, but they end up tripping all over one another, and the work of the Lord is actually hindered. It's great to hear of the organization that's going on here. In reference to, for example, summer vacation Bible school. That's wonderful. It doesn't happen automatically. The work of the Lord proceeds with organization. And notice from verse 1 that they were unified. The people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. They were unified. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." Unity and organization. It doesn't get any better than this, does it, folks? The work of the Lord proceeds with organization. Doctrinal point number two. The work of the Lord proceeds with emotion. The work of the Lord proceeds with emotion. Verses 10 through 13. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. As the work of the Lord proceeded on the foundation of the new temple, it was a time of great emotion. The people sang, and the music was loud. Let's face it, trumpets and cymbals are not made for soft music. It was loud. And many of the people just whooped it up in celebration and shouted for joy. But some of the older folks wept, verse 12. Now, why did they weep? Because some of these older people had actually seen the glory and grandeur of Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed before they went into captivity. And now this rebuilt temple under Zerubbabel was so much smaller and less glorious. But it was the work of the Lord, and in this they could rejoice. The work of the Lord proceeds with emotion, sometimes with weeping, sometimes with celebration, sometimes with both, joy and sorrow mingling. Illustration. Some years ago, I remember a baptism at a teenage camp. Some of the teenagers being baptized had had very dramatic conversions. As they were baptized, some of their Christian friends cheered. Others wept. It was a great time of emotion. Let's face it, folks, God has made us emotional people. It is not wrong to shout for joy, and it is not wrong to weep at the appropriate times. The work of the Lord proceeds with emotion. Practical application from Ezra chapter 3. Go to the Lord when you're afraid. Go to the Lord when you're afraid. Do you instinctively turn to the Lord when you're frightened? Frightened because of physical danger, or sickness, or security, or the unknown? We should go to the Lord when we're scared. We should go to the Lord when we're frightened and afraid. We see in verse 3 that that's exactly what the people did. When the Jews returned to Jerusalem, not everyone was happy. The surrounding foreigners did not want Israel to prosper, and they threatened Judah. And we'll see more of that in chapter 4. Fear came upon the people. So what did they do? They turned to the Lord in worship and obedience, as we see there in verses 3 and 4. They turned to the Lord in worship and obedience. And that's what we should do as well. I will trust and not be afraid. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. You know, fear comes in all sizes and shapes, doesn't it? Illustration. You know, just this past week, I had to have an MRI because of my injured back. This is where they slide you into a noisy horizontal tube head first for about 20 minutes. Now, fortunately, I'm not claustrophobic, but some people are. And this becomes a very scary experience for them. Hey, listen, it's not wrong to pray about your fear of an MRI. It really isn't. God loves to hear our prayers when we're afraid, big or small fears. Are you frightened right now about something, big or small? Go to the Lord when you're afraid.